Names are a lot like prayers. Every time it's invoked, a name calls upon its true meaning. Sometimes people break with traditional names as a way to separate themselves from the past and get a fresh start.
Today we take a look at the power of names. From drag queens like Katya or RuPaul, celebrity children like Kim and Kanye's North or Gwyneth Paltrow's Apple, and to the comic book villains like the infamous Mr. Mitzi Splitlick. Or is that Mitzelplick? Either way, Fausto means lucky, and Mark is a variation of Mars, the god of war. So watch out, I take no prisoners.
Plus, the FBI raids Trump's lawyer's office.
The female lion that suddenly grew a mane died at the age of 18.
A man is suing his gym for alleged hanky-panky in the steam room.
And all the dick news you can handle. I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Felian.
It's not so easy to say my name, is it?
And this is Feast of Fun. Say my name, say my name.
Ooh. We started talking because our guest on yesterday's show, Yuhua.
Yuhua.
You did what?
You did what? Yuhua.
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 Because I noticed that a lot of the drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race that have difficult sounding names, like Katya.
Mm-hmm.
RuPaul stays away from saying Zamolochikova. Mm-hmm. And that, took me a long time to roll out of my mouth easily. Mm-hmm. And, I work in customer service, and every single person I meet, about half of them go, Fausto? Faust? Faustus? What kind of name is that?
You should just have a fake work name, like Foster, like your Grindr hookup name.
I used to use that name in bars when I was meeting people, like in the old days. I used to meet somebody and I'd just be like, my name's Foster, like the street.
Yeah.
And that's the end of it. And they're like, oh, okay. But
it's
part
easy,
of me that erases my identity.
Yeah.
And it's like, my name is a beautiful name. My name means literally to be lucky. It's a German word for fist, to be victorious. Are people shaped by the names their parents give them?
I think so, in some ways. You know, there's some people out there that have the belief that the sound of their name and the way the frequency it is really has a development on their brain and how they become a person. But I would imagine, I have a friend, you've probably heard her on the podcast before. Her name is Solitaire. It was an unusual name growing up.
Sure.
And so it may have had profound effects on her development.
If you grew up in a society that looked at your name with scrutiny, it may have been difficult for you as a child to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, like for me, I grew up in Puerto Rico, so I wasn't an outsider with that name. And so to me, it was not that unusual to have. It's an unusual name in Latin America, but it's not uncommon.
Right.
So usually when I would introduce myself as Fausto, they go, oh, my uncle has a friend named Fausto, as opposed to, what is that? Now for you, your name ends with a C, Mark. It's an uncommon, it's a French spelling.
Well, it's the European spelling, as I like to tell people, because Mark with a K is the English spelling, because if you go to Europe, France, they spell it with a C most often, and then in Germany's kind of divided. Part of Germany spells it with a K, and the other part spells it with a C. Like, when I was visiting Germany, I was like, I'd go into a gift shop, and they have a coffee cup, and it would actually say Mark with a C.
You got excited.
I got excited. I didn't buy it anyway, but I was like, when I was a little kid, I was always like, there's never anything Mark with a C anywhere. But I also
those license plates, those belts, those keychains, never, ever in the history of anything I've ever had the word Fausto on them.
And it never will. But, I also tell people it's the gay spelling. But it's also the Jewish spelling. A lot of people that are Jewish spell it with a C for some reason. I'm not sure why. But the year I was born, Mark was a super popular name. I want to say it was the second most popular name, like after John or Michael.
And your mother, being a good Catholic woman, named all her children with names that begin with the letter M.
That's true.
And of course, one of her children's name is Mary.
Of course, the first one.
The first one, yes.
It was Mary.
I'm surprised she didn't name all the kids like Josie, Jesus. But that would have been Latina. Latinos like to name their kids Jesus, but Catholic Americans
never name him Jesus.
Well, never. It's blasphemous, right?
I think Joshua is a form of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? So it's Mary, Margaret, Michelle, Matthew, Madeline, Monica, Martin, and then me.
And me. My mother gave us names that did not have any middle names. She didn't give us any middle names because she didn't want nicknames. In Puerto Rico, it's very common for someone like name Jose Carlos to call him Pepe or Gillo or Yo-Yo or Tito or Toto or Tutti or Tento or Chaji or Yo-Yo or Bizcocho. They're just, you know, they give you silly sounding little nicknames because you're a beautiful baby and that baby grows up to him being an adult and the name sticks. So my mother was like, thought she didn't like that about Puerto Rican culture coming from Mexico and Texas, you know, so she was like, made sure to give us very unusual names so people wouldn't be tempted to
But you have a brother named Rodrigo, and I used to work with a guy, and people just called him Rigo.
Or my brother's nickname was Gigo.
Gigo?
And Beatriz was turned Bea. And Talia and Fausto never got any nicknames.
Oh, I've heard a couple people call you some nicknames.
They call me Faustina. They call me Fausto. Faustino. Faustito. But it never really sticks because it's longer and harder to say Faustito than it's just to say Fausto.
When I was a kid, they called me Moki. That was like my nickname because it was like Marky. I was Moki Bear.
When I first met you, Elvez used to call you Marco.
Or Marquitos.
Yes. I love Marquitos.
My Latino friends and the people that I've worked with in the kitchen always usually call me Marquitos very much. But my nickname in high school and in college with some of my friends was just The Dude.
They would call what? They would that call, is so bro.
I know.
Oh,
isn't
my
it?
God.
I was called the dude. I was called the dude.
Is that why your friends call you dude?
Yes, that's why my friends call me dude.
I didn't realize that. I thought they were just saying that, like, I'm happy to see you. They call each other. That
it's
was
not
your
just
name.
The dude. I was referred to as the dude. But then the movie The Big Lebowski came out, and you've never seen it, right?
Sure.
The Big Lebowski came out, and the main character, his nickname is The Dude. And so it was one of those things I just kind of like, you know, my friends still call me that, but that's not something I kind of put out there because I don't want people to think I'm kind of ripping off that movie. But I was called The Dude pre The Big Lebowski.
I wonder
and when if, I see that movie, though, I do see we have some commonalities, that's for sure.
I wonder if I share a common bond with Disasterina because for years people called me Faustina.
Oh, because the Ina's on the end?
Well, it's also easy to say you're like,
and to go the
like
Ina!
For example, yeah, to do that sound. Disasterina, Faustina. They always loved that. And I always thought Faustina was a joke.
No.
I was like, Fausto is such a, you know,
a
it sounds
name.
Asian or it sounds like really masculine, Fausto, you know, and to make it Faustina, it sounds like a ridiculous thing. Then I moved to Chicago and I discovered there is a Polish priest,
a saint
named Saint Faustina that's very popular with Polish people.
Isn't that crazy?
I was like, girl, give me a t-shirt.
Isn't there like a Saint Faustina beer or something? I feel like there is.
And then I discovered the magical world of the radical fairies and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. And I just fell in love with names like Princess Cunt Muscle.
What?
Sherry.
Just call her Kegel for short.
Belinda China Shop. BB Jesus. E.D. Cheeseburger, Beatrix Upper Sleeve, Cherry Poppins, and so on. And I just started thinking, it was like, you know, drag queens?
All my bitches.
I just thought it was like drag queens really are very unique in the sense that they create these outrageous names, and then they develop these careers based on these outrageous names. And it's kind of like, you know, God hating humanity or Dr. Frankenstein hating his monster. You know, they have this love-hate relationship with their own creation. And, you know, it's like, I mean, it must be a hard journey to take when you are an African-American drag queen named Frida Slaves. And when you are a recovering addict, naming yourself Sharon Needles is going to be a burden to work.
Recovering.
And look at some of these drag queen names. Molestia Child, Annie B. Frank, Phallic Cunt, Meatball, Head of Lettuce, Lucy Stool, Olive the Cox, Selma Soul. You know, from Katya to Yehua to Mr. Mitzplick. These unusual names are, I was thinking it was a way to control the relationship with the people out there. Because if they can never fully or comfortably say your name, in
You've
some ways,
got one over them.
You have one over them. And I was thinking about that. Like, you know, why did the drag queens, when they come on our show, because I was thinking about Yuhua, it was really hard to grasp her name. And like,
because I feel like I heard it pronounced differently someplace else.
And yeah, and RuPaul says it one way, and then Yuhua says it, and they say it quickly. Like, when I say my name to people, I go, Fausto. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I try to. Well, you have a pronunciation guide for my name.
Do I?
Yeah, it's somewhere. Like it's not like pasta.
Fausto.
It's not like Bosco syrup. Fausto. Foul. It's like owl and toes. Yeah. Fausto.
Yeah, I have one for my last name. I just say Fillion rhymes with million. People still mispronounce it.
And when I got married to you, I said, "Why be a millionaire when you can be a Fillionaire?" You know, actress Uzo Aduba, when she was a kid, just like me, she wanted to change her name to something like Sally or Jane to her mother. And she was like, I gave you, this is your heritage. Mm-hmm. This is the best of me I give to you, is giving you this powerful, beautiful, complex name. And for me, I was like a little child. I wanted to name myself Alex because it began with the letter A.
Aw.
And as you know, the last Starfighter, the character was this hunky man named Alex. And I was like, I wonder what it'd be like to live in the United States where the weather is cool most year round.
And then he went on to be in a Million-Dollar Quartet with Levi Christ.
Really?
Yeah, that actor he did that show with him. I want to say it was here in Chicago.
Oh, girl, he was a childhood crush of mine. I wanted to meet him.
You should have stalked him while you had the chance. You know, it's interesting, like her, and she didn't change her name. She kind of grew to respect it. But I also have, like, my friend Zatu has an unusual name. She's thinking about changing her name just because she's like, feels like as she gets older, she doesn't want to have to deal with a bunch of bullshit when she's in the nursing home. I'm like, what kind of name is that?
Well, I think about, like, a lot of African Americans today and just people from, you know, modest backgrounds of any kind. There's a lot of strife. There's a lot of heartache. And instead of naming your child after a family member, they usually come up with a brand new name. And, you know, Brian Sweeney hilariously wrote down so many outrageous African-American names when he was working at Marshall's in the layaway counter. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole podcast.
Was it Marshall's
on
or
that.
TJ Maxx?
It was Marshall's, I believe. Okay. Or TJ Maxx. I think it was
TJ Maxx on the south side of Chicago, and he had a book. And he just, like, he wrote down all these names. Well, you also have to remember, these are very inventive people. These are the people that invented jazz. You know, they invented rap and hip hop. Their minds work on a very creative level. And so they're just like, why do we need something that's oppressive? Let's come up with something new and fun.
In DC Comics, there is a trickster character named Mr. Mitzel Spitlick or Mr. Mitzelsplick?
Mitzelsplick. I always said that when I was a kid, but it's Mitzi Splitlick.
And the rumor is that the writers just banged on the keyboard to come up with the name. And throughout the history of the animated character's appearance in Super Friends or Superman or the TV series or the comic books, they've always pronounced his name slightly different. In one episode, the actor who does the voice of the Affleck duck, I'm forgetting his name.
The one who got fired for making those jokes about the
tsunami.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried said it's Mix Yeez Spit Lick. Okay. And that's the pronunciation. I like that pronunciation. Mitzi Spitlick.
Mr. Mitzelplitlick.
But I grew up saying Mitzelplick. And so Superman, he was a torment to Superman because he was impervious to Superman's powers. He was a multidimensional being. And the only way he could get him to come back to his dimension was by tricking him to say his name backwards, Kitzelsplin, or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard enough to say it forward. How do you say it backwards?
And so he would hold a sign
in the fifth dimension.
And then he would work. I guess he was in jail in the fifth dimension, and he was always escaping jail. So he was a villain in his universe.
Right. Okay. But he was also kind of like just like he was a villain or an anti-hero. So he wasn't like usually totally all bad.
In one episodes or several, he sometimes would help Superman. You know, it's like, all right, Superman, you win this time. But
he was very small and impish.
I would think, like, my drag persona is the love child of Superman and Mr. Mitzelplick, if she was gorgeous and beautiful.
That would be it.
Because she's a bit of a trickster, mm-hmm. and she's also a hero. Mm-hmm. She's a villain and a hero mm-hmm. in a very, you know, mm-hmm. mixed torture way. Mm-hmm. I, you know, I'm very inspired by Tura Satana, the actress who played Varla, what was her name?
Yeah.
In Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill. And I was attracted to her because she's the hero, she's the anti-hero of the movie, and at the same time, she has this, like, burden, this anger, this torment. Fire in her. And she's, like, murdering people, but you're, like, they had it coming, you know? You got, like, you take the side of the killer, because the people she's murdering are really obnoxious mm. and terrible. And I was thinking about, like, Eartha Kitt. She only had one child, right?
Mm-hmm.
She named her child Kit after her name because her actually
Kit Shapiro is her daughter.
Kit Shapiro.
She wanted a little piece of her
in her child. Mm-hmm. Even Eartha Kitt was a name that she created for herself. She was named Eartha Mae Keith,
mm-hmm.
and so Kit was kind of a stage name. Yeah. And, you know, because she's a kitty cat.
Meow.
And so I was thinking about, like, celebrities, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was discouraged by keeping his name and was discouraged. And mm-hmm. for a long time, like, people were just like, that's crazy name. But
it was because of that. It was hard to get your mind around or how you would even say it back in the day. But eventually you learn how to say it.
And I think because he had an unusual name, mm-hmm. he stood out as a media personality mm-hmm. and probably, you know, he's arguably one of the world's greatest bodybuilders ever, but mm-hmm. he's also influenced. I mean, he mainstreamed a whole sport from a fetish mm-hmm. into an actual legitimate. Well, some people mm-hmm. don't think bodybuilding is legitimate, but, you know, elevated that practice into something much bigger than it was at the time.
Mm.
And so a lot of celebrities, when they have an opportunity to name their kids, they go hog wild.
Well, those kids lead a privileged life, so it's real easy to kind of give them just a silly sounding name.
And the most famous and the most controversial child's name was Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's child, North.
Do you think that's the most controversial?
It was the most discussed.
I don't know.
We'll get to the other ones.
Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris's, when they called their kid Apple, was pretty much a contender for that.
But let's talk about Kim first and then talk about Gwyneth Paltrow. So Kim Kardashian and Kanye West's child's name is really unique because it's not a name they actually created. It was a name that was started as a rumor in the press based on the film North by Northwest.
Oh, really? So they took it from the rumor that came by?
They, like, you know, they've dedicated their lives to cultivating a relationship with a paparazzi in the tabloid media. So when their first child was born, mm-hmm. they turned and said, you know what? Anna Wintour and Pharrell Williams came over. Congratulations on your daughter, North. And they were just looked at each other and said, I guess that's going to be the name. And that's why they named their child mm-hmm. North. Hmm. Not because it's a name they wanted, mm-hmm. because the world imposed it upon them.
I think also because I think Gwyneth Paltrow's and Chris's... Chris Martin's kid Apple came first. I think it may have been like people were a little more used to Kanye and Kim naming their kid North. Because I remember like when Apple was born, that was kind of like a big deal because people were like, how ridiculous is it that they're going to name this kid Apple? And I guess they went on Oprah and they explained to her like, you know, apples are sweet. It's biblical. And so we just thought it would be like a good name.
But it's Gwyneth Paltrow. So mm-hmm. guess what?
Gloop.
Chris Martin's bandmate. Child is also named Apple, and that's where she got the name.
No,
she
really?
Stole the name from somebody that she knew.
Really?
Yeah. So you imagine, you know, here you're like, I'm not mm-hmm. sure if it was a drummer or a guitar, mm-hmm. you know, somebody who's not obviously as famous as Chris Martin. Mm-hmm. Here comes his wife and names her child after your child's name, and it's kind of like, lady. Mm-hmm. Let my kid Apple have her own name, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like...
Well, I wonder, you know, since her parents consciously uncoupled, I wonder if Apple someday will consciously uncouple from her name and change it to something more normal sounding. Because some people do, like, you know, Zoe Bowie changed his mm-hmm. name to so he'd have, like, a regular, like, sounding name and not be associated with his dad.
But do you know what he changed it to?
I forget. He's actually a famous
Bruce.
Musician.
No. Well, Jerry Halwell, the singer best known as Ginger Spice from mm-hmm. the Spice Girls, when she got a chance to name her daughter, she named it after her two favorite things, mm-hmm. the bluebell flower and the pop singer Madonna. Bluebell Madonna.
Mm-hmm. Duncan Jones. I just Googled it.
So oh, really? Name, he even removed Bowie from his last name. Because he could have been Duncan Bowie.
Well, he could have been, but he just...
But David Bowie wasn't his name. David Bowie was a name that he gave himself as an entertainer.
Well, there you go.
Nicolas Cage renamed himself after Luke Cage, the comic book character, and his son, he gave him the name Kal-El, Superman's real name.
Hmm.
David Duchovny and Tia Leone went literal and named their son Kid, K-Y-D.
Middle name Rock.
Yeah, and we know a lot of people who name their dogs D-O-G, D-O-G.
Mm-hmm. And they always think they're clever. Our friends, Michael, like he was like
and Daryl, yeah.
D-O-J-E-E or something, D-O-D-G-E-E or something like that. And they went to, and they thought they were so smart. And then they went to the veterinarian and they're like, oh, yeah, that's a very common name. They're like, oh, we thought we were clever.
Filmmaker Robert Rodriguez, he named his son Rocket and was so happy with that, he named his other children Racer, Rebel, Rogue, and Rhiannon.
Wow.
Frank Zappa, famously in the past, he was one of the first celebrities who really do outrageous children's names. He named his children Moon Unit, Diva, Thin Muffin, and Dweezil.
Mm-hmm. And I believe they all changed their names.
Later. I think Dweezil Zappa still uses the name Dweezil.
Does he? I think it might be something else. But Moon Unit, she had her own little song. I'm a Valley Girl, right?
I believe so, yeah.
That was a huge hit.
But the worst and the most controversial and the most outrageous children's names go to the Jackson family. With second runner-up, Michael Jackson, with his son Prince Michael II and Blanket. There's two children, but Jermaine Jackson's worst child name is named his daughter, Jer Majesty.
Holy cow.
Yes.
Jer Majesty.
Jer Majesty. And to this day, at least as far as I know, Jer Majesty Jackson is still a real person.
I remember... early on in our early days of podcasting, you know, because we made a splash, you know, and there was a ripple effect and some people loved us and some people weren't having it. And we did develop, you know, I had compiled a list of, you know, enemies that people were against us.
Enemies?
People that didn't like us.
Angry listeners.
And listeners or other, mostly it's other podcasters. It was mostly them. And just in case anything ever happened to us, the police would have some like, suspects. And then I remember, and then looking over the list, and there's probably like 10 of them.
Yeah.
And each one of them had some kind of alias. Like, not one of them used the real name.
Well, their government name, the name on their driver's license. Yeah. And they really didn't pursue entertainment careers outside of that podcast. Even to this day, a lot of people who, you know, are sort of malicious or cruel or unkind usually hide behind an alias, an anonymous platform of some kind.
Yeah.
Maybe they just have a hard time expressing their frustration or the anger. And so they take it out on, you know, somebody they can relate to. And ironically, like, you know, a lot of that negative energy that's directed at you as a content creator from some anonymous person on the internet is really a tribute to how successful you are in resonating with them. But if I had a nickel for every drag queen that's imitated Cooking with Drag Queens or any podcaster that's imitated Feast of Fun, I'm very proud actually of all the people that have sort of, felt so moved or inspired or angry or, stimulated by the content that we made that they wanted to turn around and do something almost identical to it in every way, except, you know, it's they're not us and they don't have our history or our experience or our knowledge. And so because of that reason, it falls short, or, you know, they'll eventually discover that the best kind of content as an artist that you can make is something that is that flows from your own experience and your own knowledge and wisdom. And not, you know,
have to be your authentic self. And when you have your authentic self, that's good enough.
You think about, like, you know, LGBT people who hate on RuPaul today. And I think, you know, there's some legitimate concerns there. Sure. But there's a lot of that is also like they see themselves in RuPaul and they hate RuPaul. I remember in the early 90s, another entertainer that was very popular with LGBT people that had a lot of hate directed towards them. Do you remember her?
Madonna.
Remember how when people used to hate Madonna?
Well, people still do hate Madonna.
They don't hate Madonna like they used to.
Yeah.
Not at all.
There was a lot of, like, she really just pissed off a lot of people. And then other people, on the flip side, people absolutely adored her and loved her.
I wish I had another expression, a nickel, for every performance artist, every gay man performance artist who put on a wireless headset microphone and performed on stage.
In a cone bra
for either ironically or in tribute to Madonna's Blonde Ambition tour.
Mm.
I mean, it was just such a iconic moment in popular culture and the way that gay men saw themselves reflected in this woman from, from Michigan. This Italian woman from Michigan who dyed her hair blonde, was part of the New York City club scene. You know, there's something about Madonna that just struck a nerve with gay men that other people like Cyndi Lauper or Gwen Stefani or Blondie just never had. Even Lady Gaga never really struck a nerve the way Madonna, because it was not necessarily that they loved her. They also hated her. That negative energy was a big part of Madonna's success.
You know what's really weird now that you're bringing her up is if I was born a girl, my mother was going to name me Madonna.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. But growing up, I knew a couple of girls named Donna who were probably really Madonnas.
Oh, they were very difficult people.
Well, they changed their name. They went by a nickname,
Donna.
Oh,
I see. They were not pre-Madonnas.
No, they were Madonnas, but they were called Donna because, like, Madonna was, like, you know, it was a long-ass name. And then, of course, it has, like, that religious connotation to it.
And I think about this, like, you know, when people are transitioning from one into the gender that they were born to be, as opposed to the one that's assigned to them. Mm-hmm. And they usually, for a lot of trans guys, they choose gay porn star names. Not because they watch gay porn and said, I want to be, you know,
maybe they do.
Sean Cody.
Yeah.
But because those names at the time were popular boys' names and they just like the sound of it. And so they give those
names
to themselves.
That's what a lot of porn stars do. They look and see, like, what's the hot baby names right now?
Yeah.
You know? And so even though they're 20, 30 years older than those babies, they're like, let's pick a name that sounds new and fresh. And so that's why you had all these Aidens and Cadens and all that kind of stuff.
Where some drag queens, when they choose a name for themselves, they usually find up with, you know, a French sounding name.
Or it's a good pun.
Yeah. And, you know, and the puns
based on something
are hilarious. But, you know, where I'm saying this out there to people, if you're creating a name for yourself, be careful what that name is. Because if you repeat it enough times, it's going to come true.
Miss Vanjie.
Yeah, look at that. You know, it's really, names are very powerful things. Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the dick news.
Yes, all the dick news you can cram into your hungry hole for information.
So somebody, there's a lot of people are really hot for Mario. And Mario from, you know, the Mario Brothers, they
the took characters, the video games.
Yeah. And so
they're hot for Mario because he looks like Matteo Lane, or Matteo Lane models himself after Mario.
Uh-huh.
He even has gone as Luigi for Halloween.
Oh, yeah, he totally looks like him. Well, we'll have to measure up his dick size. So there's a new game. There's a game out there called Mario's Tennis Aces, right? And it's got Luigi, you know, who's, you know, Mario's brother. He's the more attractive one, really.
Yeah.
And so he's out there and he's playing tennis, and it looks like there's a little bit of a bulge. And somebody took that bulge and did the math. They're like, well, if this pixel stands for this much and that much, see that little drawing there? And so they figure his penis flaccid is 3.7 inches long based on the pixels.
Oh, brother. That's some science.
You know? And so, you know, a 3.7 flaccid penis could grow into, like, you know,
a nice 8 inch.
You know, that could be a nice little monster.
Mamma mia.
So if you
take that pipe.
If you were thinking, you know, if you were thinking about Luigi's cock, you know, you have permission now to imagine it being quite large.
I would imagine that the animators for Nintendo probably spend a lot of time, you know, dissecting and analyzing every square inch of their characters because their company's wealth in the billions is based on what these characters do and look like. Now, so they probably gave them dicks because people, they did research and they're like, oh, people are sexually attracted to Mario and Luigi. Why not give them nice, massive bulges?
I'm sure there's probably a ton, if you, especially on Tumblr, if you go out there and look for Mario Brothers porn, there's probably a lot. And who's the top? Who's the bottom? There's a guy in China who had prostatitis. You know what prostatitis is, right? It's like, you know,
prostate growth.
You know, yeah.
And swollen. You know,
swollen.
And so you can't pee. It can kind of feel, or you have to pee too much.
And it can kind of feel like itching, right? Okay. And so a guy in China took a meter long cable and shoved it up his urethra and into like his thing to try and like scratch himself from the inside. And then he tried to take it out, but then it was like he got a knot in there. And so then it started, and he tried to force it out, and there was bleeding. And so,
oh, my God. This is horrifying.
I know, it is horrifying. So if you have, like, itching up inside your body,
go see a doctor.
Go see a doctor, because there's stuff they can do. Sometimes prostatitis is, like, it's an inflammation caused by bacteria.
Well, I think a lot of the news that comes from, you know, Russia or Asian cultures, and even our own United States, you know, we've heard a lot about fake news, misinformation, right? But I think there's another aspect to propaganda that we really don't look at, which is distraction. You know, so, certainly like Trump going, you know, Mueller, what is it? They just stormed Trump's lawyer's offices today.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And it's the lawyer who's
Trump's main lawyer,
who gave the $130,000 to Stormy Daniels. So this just might be the thing. And now Trump's saying that this is un-American and that they're trying to destroy the country.
Well, and Trump is then rattling his saber, talking about going to war with Syria, which is something he criticized Obama for. And now he's, you know, if Trump's been for something, chances are he's been also against. There's a website called Trump Criticizes Trump. And, you know, it's no coincidence that Trump will probably try to take us to war as he gets deeper and deeper in the hole with his impeachable offenses.
It's very saddening to see what's happening in Syria right now with the chemical warfare, because it's, you know, it's pretty much universally agreed upon that this is the kind of stuff that we shouldn't do. I mean, it's bad enough we blow each other up with bombs and with bullets, but then to gas people, it's just, you know, it's horrific.
But what is the effective solution for this? Is war
peace?
A solution?
No.
And, you know, it's extremely complicated. We could solve these things overnight just by bombing them. It might be a good solution, right? But bombing, you know, people doesn't necessarily, and in fact, makes things worse most of the time. So, and one hilarious consequence of all this propaganda is that we start seeing outrageous news. Like, I mean, for a long time, China would send out articles upon articles of women breastfeeding tigers and bears and lions and stuff.
They were always feeding animals, weren't they?
Like, there's all this stuff coming from Asian countries, you know, and like all sorts of outrageous, you know. And I mean, think about like Vladimir Putin posing shirtless in the woods was a way to distract us about talking about the oppressive nature of this leader, because we were too busy laughing about the outrageousness of him posing shirtless.
Well, it's
in the
also
woods.
Supposed to make him seem like, you know, I'm virile. I'm a strong man. You have faith in me.
And to some degree, you know, I think a lot of Russian men posted shirtless photos of themselves in the woods in solidarity with support of their with Vladimir Putin. But I think part of that approach was also just to distract us. So whenever we're talking about, you know, and Bernie Sanders says this a lot, it's like a lot of these things may be intended to distract us from talking about wage equality, healthcare equality, income equality, education inequality, and not the fact that, you know, we're really worried about whether Trump received or paid money to this woman for a blowjob or whatever.
Well, it's, you know, the thing about that is, though, it's he's violating campaign laws by doing that kind of thing, because he's paying this person off in order to, you know, as part of, so he can get elected.
But Trump has done so many illegal things. I mean, just the emoluments, the fact that he has not divested himself out of his businesses and through, you know, Mar-a-Lago or through Trump Towers, he's billing the U.S. government for just using them is enough to impeach him. So the only way, you know, and this is my concern with Mueller's investigation, he's going to find everything, and the worst case scenario, he's going to find it. He's going to present that to the public, and the Republicans who are in charge are not going to do anything. So if we want to get rid of Trump, if we want to get rid of the Republicans, we have to vote. And right now there's a movement that's stemming from the, you know, the Parkland shooting teenagers to lower nationwide the voting age from 18 to 16.
Yeah. Old enough to drive, old enough to vote.
I really like that. And they've done a lot of studies. They're actually saying that teenagers at the around the age of 16 are not impulsive like they're being portrayed in the media. There's that they actually do weigh things out and are very mindful of their decisions. Of course, you know, Republicans get it, stay in charge when people don't vote. So they're never going to expand the voting age. And then if anything, they can expand the voting age to seniors. That would be great.
You know, and in some ways, it's kind of like, you know, these seniors that are they're the ones that are out voting, but they're not going to live in this world. Yeah. They don't know what's coming. And they think that, like, the way that they lived in this world is the way it should always be because, hey, it was good enough for them. But the world is changing. And these kids that are 16, they've got a whole life ahead of them. And they're the ones that have to deal with the consequences of these votes. Some people are thinking, like, the kids' parents will, you know, will
influence
their decision. But, you know, a lot of times kids will rebel. And I think they, in the study that I heard, about 60% of the kids do not vote the way that their parents vote.
And that a lot of young kids, if they're given the right to vote, might actually vote Republican. But also, it was the reason why women were denied the voting rights.
Yeah.
Because they were arguing that they would vote like their husbands
would.
They
were hysterical.
Yeah, and they would. You know. They were not, you know, so, so the same argument against youth vote. Is the same argument against women voting. And so if you're a person who is cares about equality, you know, organize and participate in lowering the voting age to 16.
So Donald Trump Jr. was he was on Adam Carolla's show and he was talking to him and Adam asked him, who has a bigger dick, you or your dad? He goes, when you and your pops are in the shower, who's got the bigger package? You know what I'm saying. And he says, you know, and I will get fired for this, but I'm never going to say that I don't. I will get fired for that, by the way. They're both pretty substantial, I think. Hey!
So he's like compared the size of his dick to his dad.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen my dad naked. And so, you know, my dad had a pretty decent sized dick.
I try to forget what my dad's dick looks like.
Yeah.
And I have seen my, I remember when I was a kid, stumbling into the bathroom, seeing my dad peeing and just going, oh, I need eye bleach. I was traumatized.
There's a guy at the at a gym in New York City, and he was in the steam room, and so he saw somebody, like a couple of guys kind of, you know, jerking off. And so he's, you know, reported it to management. I'm not really sure what management did, but he decided to take it to the New York Supreme Court because he's just like, this has got to stop.
He was mad because the other guys were rubbing one out in the same room.
And he, I guess, identified as being straight. And he felt like this is not the place that something like that should happen.
I'm curious to know from our gay listeners who are for or against masturbating in the steam room in the gym. What are your thoughts on this? You can anonymously post it on our website, feastoffun.com.
Yeah, use a fake name.
Create a fake name. And let us know what you think about your, you know, do you think this is like something that gyms should be aggressively trying to stop? I find that, like, usually, you know, if guys are going to, if there's enough privacy, enough, you know, darkness and
steam,
as in the film steam, men are going to get it on with each other.
They'll find a way, always.
And so part of me, it's like, as if I was a gym owner, I would try to create a safer space for that to occur. And, you know, and that's what those gay bathhouses like Steamworks or Rest in Peace Man's Country were about, was to allow that to develop. But, you know, these days with these, you know, Planet Fitness or Bally's or LA Fitness or whatever, it's like these gyms have a really difficult situation because if there's a steam room, gay sex is going to happen in there. And so they don't know, you know, they want to follow the law. They want to create a safe environment for everyone. And at the same time, they also have a difficult situation because they don't also want to target their gay customers. And so it's a difficult place for them to be in.
Yeah. And so the other thing is, too, is like, how do you enforce something like that? You just have to close it down because you can't have somebody in there like It's just sitting there steaming all day.
And anybody who's not rubbed one out in a steam room, let them throw the first stone.
Do you remember last year there was an African lion, lioness at the Oklahoma Zoo, and then she suddenly sprouted like a mane, and she became like it looked.
She spontaneously became a male lion.
Yeah, she spontaneously did. Well, she did die. She died, so she was 18. I'm not sure how long they live for, but she wasn't feeling too well, and she wasn't eating, so they put her down. And they looked, and they saw that she had a benign tumor on her adrenal gland, and that may have been a cause because she had an elevated level of androtestosterone, like some kind of testosterone. So because she had, a tumor on her adrenal gland, she started displaying more masculine characteristics.
Lions in the average last about 14 years in the wild. So okay. She had a nice long life for a lion.
Yeah. But I wonder if like in captivity, because they have the health care and everything.
What's the right gender pronoun to use for this lion exactly? Like they?
They? Animals don't have that same whole kind of...
Don't have the need.
They don't have the gender need like a lot of other people do. So, Fausto, you got your stitches out today. How are you feeling?
I'm a stitchless bitch.
We can always get you more stitches if you want.
Yeah, snitches get... I don't know. But for those of you guys who might have been not tuning in or aware, I develop a cancerous growth... carcinoma on my shoulder, which required emergency surgery. They're like
come in.
We're doing this right now. So they took out a pretty significant amount of tissue from my shoulder, and it's been causing all kinds of problems with my shoulder ability to move. The doctor feels like the prognosis is very good. Mm-hmm. So we caught it early. But it is they've done two biopsies now and scooped my shoulder twice. So they're trying to remove as much tissue as they can to make sure it doesn't grow into something worse. So, so everything looks good, except the fact that my shoulder is all messed up and hurts and itches like hell. So thanks for everybody who's pitched in to help pay for my medical bills. If you're interested in doing so, you can go to GoFundMe.com/Fausto and make a contribution to offset the medical costs that I am facing from dealing with this. Because I live in the United States.
Yeah, we live in the United States. It's expensive. If you love this podcast, if you love Fausto, keep him going. Keep this podcast going.
It's difficult to deal with our healthcare system. It's broken, and the doctor and the nurses that help me, they're also frustrated with the system as well. And I, they did an extraordinarily good job of taking care of me, but when I'm asking them questions, it's like they're really sometimes sketchy about it. Like I have to be really proactive. Like, can I exercise? What should I do to rehabilitate myself and stuff? Mm-hmm. And she's just really vague about it, very noncommittal.
Well, they don't want to be held to anything,
And at the same time, I'm like, well, maybe you should look about some other profession. Mm-hmm. It's like you have malpractice insurance. Mm-hmm. Just tell me this is what you might want to do. I'm not the first person that they've chopped off their shoulder off. Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating to me because I'm a person who's used to, lifting weights and exercising, and now I just have doctor's orders, not allowed to move, and I have this stitch on my shoulder, and it's interfering with my ability to sleep, and interfering with my ability to work, and it's been really distressing, and on top of that, cancer doesn't scare me as much as paying the medical bills, and to me, it's been extremely moving and humbling to having. All the people that listen to the show chip in and help for my financial burden. And without you guys, we would not be here. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much.
And thank you for me, too, because this is my husband. This is the guy I love and I care. We put so much effort into this podcast, and I sometimes wonder if we put effort somewhere else that maybe we wouldn't have to ask for the money to help pay for these bills. But, we love this podcast and we know you guys love it too. If you feel like it, make a donation at the GoFundMe.com/Fausto or make a one-time donation at FeastToFund.com/donate. We also take personal checks, cashier's checks.
American Express will do nicely, thank you. Let me loosen up your collar. Tell me, you want me to talk about RuPaul again?
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
We'll be right back.